The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello there. Welcome to Grace in Focus. Today, Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee are looking at a question about eternal security. Two questions. Was Judas a saved individual or someone who lost his salvation? And was Samson a believer? We hope you'll stay and listen and be challenged by today's discussion here on Grace in Focus, which is the radio and podcast ministry of the Grace Evangelical Society. Please join us on our website and find out more about us. We have many resources available. Some are books that can be purchased in our store. And I will just mention one, Bob Wilkin's latest book, The Gospel is Still Under Siege. That is available at faithalone.org. Now with today's question and answer discussion, here are Bob Wilkin and Mike Lee.
All right, we're going to have some questions that came from our YouTube audience. And this first one is, was Judas a saved individual or someone who lost his salvation? I guess I've seen people who argue against eternal security. They say, look, Judas was a perfect example of someone who lost his salvation.
And who's that from? This is one of the YouTube responders.
Yeah,
so we don't some fake name.
Yeah, we usually don't have a name for them, or it has some numbers and, you know, random combination
All right,
of letters.
So we'll say this is YouTube. So was Judas saved, or was he saved and lost?
The salvation. Yeah.
Okay, there are people who believe that Judas was a believer all along. There are people who believe that Judas was an unbeliever until he betrayed Christ. And then before he hung himself, we're told he experienced remorse, metamelami, that he was grieved before and then he committed suicide. And they say he came to faith there. I would say no, it's pretty clear Jesus calls him the son of perdition. It's the word apolemy that he was lost. And he says, none of my disciples are lost except this one, the betrayer. It seems clear that that's one of the rare cases where apolemy refers to those who are unregenerate. In my book, The 10 Most Misunderstood Words, I discuss lost. I have a chapter on lost, and I say primarily it refers to destruction or losing your way or that sort of thing. But on some occasions, like John 3:16, perish does refer to being eternally condemned. In terms of Judas, I would say that he's the son of perdition. This tells us he never did come to faith. If he did, of course, he would be saved forever. But I don't believe that his suicide shows that he came to faith. It simply shows that he regrets what he did. He realized that he had betrayed a good man. But did he believe that by faith in Jesus he was secure forever? No. And if he had, he would have become one of the apostles. So, no, Judas wasn't saved. I don't believe there's any indication, even though there are people who argue that, especially in the free grace circles. They go, well, you could be as bad as Judas and still get into the kingdom. Right, you could, but only if you believe. And I don't see any indication that Judas ever believed. Mm-hmm. In John 13 and John 15, Jesus says, you are clean, but not all of you. And then not all of you referred to Judas. So Judas wasn't clean at that point. Mm-hmm. So you'd have to argue he was born again just before he committed suicide, but I don't see that either.
I guess here it's clean as indication whether they have everlasting life or not.
Right. Well, because in Titus 3:5, he talks about the washing of regeneration. Mm-hmm. There is a cleansing that occurs when we believe in Christ. And so we're forgiven and cleansed, and we begin the Christian life. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that's something we've got to do on an ongoing basis. But at the moment of faith, we're forgiven and cleansed for everything we've ever done. So we start the Christian life with a clean slate. He had never experienced the washing of regeneration.
Okay.
He had never been cleansed positionally. Mm-hmm. And of course, he washes the disciples' feet to say, even though you're clean people, you need cleansing.
Mm-hmm.
You need ongoing fellowship cleansing.
All right. I guess since we're on the topic of individuals in the Bible, here's another one.
This is another YouTuber?
Another YouTuber. Was Samson a believer?
Okay. This is a good question.
Yeah.
You know, we don't have in the Old Testament many examples of cases where we're told that so-and-so was a believer. We do have, like, King Saul, that God gave him a new heart and made him a new man, and that's regarded by many at the point at which he's born again. We also have Hebrews 11, and Hebrews 11 is interesting What you have in Hebrews 11 is the New Testament telling us about what Old Testament people believed. And so we know from Hebrews 11 that a number of Old Testament people clearly were believers. For example, we know that Abel was a believer. We know that Enoch was a believer. We know that Noah was a believer. We know that Abraham was a believer. We know that Sarah was a believer. We know that Moses was a believer and he was looking for a reward. We know that Joseph was a believer. We know that a lot of these people were believers. Well, he goes on in verse 32 to say, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, and also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of aliens," etc.
Did you know that the Grace Evangelical Society offers an MDiv degree through our online seminary? And tuition is free to those who maintain a 3.0 grade average. It is a 3-year degree program, and you could submit your application now to gain acceptance. Then stay apprised of our registration periods for upcoming semester terms. Program and application details can be found at gesseminary.org. Have a look at our MDiv degree. Become an approved workman. Find out how. gesseminary.org.
Well, the point is, Samson is listed here in the Hall of Faith, or the Hall of Hebrew Hall of Fame. And I would say it would be exceedingly unlikely that he would list Samson here if Samson were an unbeliever, or Gideon or Barak or even Jephthah, who made this stupid vow and ultimately committed his daughter to perpetual virginity that she would never marry and have children. I would say, yeah, Samson was a believer. And by the way, Samson's parents met the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ. And Manoah, which is his father, said, "How can we even live since we've seen God?"
Going back to this list in Hebrews 11, this isn't maybe just a list of believers. Aren't these a list of people who are going to be rewarded in the kingdom?
Yes, right. These are overcoming believers.
Yeah.
Now, in the case of some of them, they may or may not have ended their life well. Now, I don't think Solomon's listed here, is he?
No, Solomon's omitted, but did Samson end his life correctly?
Well, yeah, that's a good point. Okay, so Samson had a woman problem, obviously. Yeah. He was somewhat of a ladies' man, and he shouldn't have been with Delilah, and he shouldn't have told her about the source of his strength. And he ended up losing his eyes over this and losing his strength over this. But while the Philistines had him working in a mill, moving a grindstone, he was kind of their oxen because he gained his strength back, right?
Right.
And his hair grew back. And so he was in their temple and he prayed and God gave him his full strength back and he was able to push down these two pillars of this mighty temple, and over 3,000 Philistines died. He did more in that one incident than he had done in his entire ministry. And yes, it appears he died faithfully, that what he did there was an act of faith. And he prayed and he acted and he was willing to give his life in order to avenge the loss of his life, but also avenge the fact that the Philistines were an ungodly people.
So I get a lesson there with Samson. It's never too late to overcome.
Right. Now, I would expect a mixed bag when Samson is judged, but I would expect him to rule and reign in the life to come because he did end his life well, and he is mentioned positively in Hebrews 11. So, yeah, good point, Mike. I would see him not only as a believer, but as a faithful at the end of his life believer.
Why do you think maybe Solomon's not listed here?
Yeah, well, it's interesting. Solomon, if you read 1 Kings 11, at the end of his life, he had built all these temples to pagan gods for his wives because he had 700 wives and 300 concubines, or I often joke, 700 wives and 300 porcupines because these concubines could have been rather prickly, maybe annoying the wives. But you know, the Old Testament, Yahweh told the kings of Israel, do not multiply wives and do not multiply chariots and horses, because if they multiplied chariots and horses, they were going to put their faith in the chariots and horses rather than believing that God was going to deliver the people. And if he had multiple wives, then they were going to be putting their faith in the fact that all of these alliances they would make with foreign kings is what was going to keep them safe, not the God of Israel. And so Solomon had 700 wives, and many of these wives were the daughters of foreign kings. And so as a result, they led him astray. And in 1 Kings 11, he had built many temples to these gods, and he actually went to them and worshiped in these temples. And so he became an idolater. And according to the New Testament, there are several vice lists. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11, Ephesians 5, 5 to 7, Galatians 5, 19 to 21. I have about a 20-page article called Christians Who Lose Their Legacy, and I discuss those three passages, especially the Galatians 5, 19 to 21. And they say that idolaters will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, I argue in that article that inheriting the kingdom refers to ruling and reigning in the life to come, not getting in, but ruling. And so as a result, that would mean that if Solomon died as an idolater, he is not going to rule and reign in the life to come unless there was a different requirement for ruling in the Old Testament, which I don't believe there was. So in my view, Solomon is going to have a lot of treasure in heaven because he did a lot of good things and he was a good king for a long time. But because he died out of fellowship with the Lord and died as an idolater, he will not rule and reign. And by the way, quick aside, I talked to Zane Hodges about King Saul. And you know, King Saul took his own life, but he didn't take his own life just willy-nilly. He took it because he knew that the Philistines were going to abuse him and torture him and that sort of thing. And Zane felt that he was still a professing believer and not an idolater and still walking by faith, even though he was very messed up. And Zane said he thought it was at least possible King Saul will have some measure of rule in the life to come, maybe a small city in Israel or something. I don't know. But I would think Solomon ended his life worse than King Saul.
Yeah, this is very interesting that we can see in the pattern of the Old Testament believers that, you know, it gives us lessons in terms of eternal life, eternal rewards, and reigning.
It does.
Yeah.
And Solomon's not mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11, and that's probably telling.
Yeah, Hebrews 11 or 1 Corinthians?
I'm sorry, Hebrews 11.
Yeah. No, worries.
He's not mentioned in 1 Corinthians 11 either that I can recall. But
all right, thank you. And let's all keep grace in focus.
Be our guest and subscribe to our 48-page magazine, 6 issues per year, also called Grace in Focus. It's free by emailing your name and snail mail address to ges@faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. Maybe you've got a question or comment or feedback. If so, please send us a message. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. And when you do, please make sure your question is as succinct and clear as possible. That would be a great big help. On our next episode, we take you by recorded interview to our 2024 National Conference last May. Please join us, and until then, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.